turn your tax refund into a new kitchen with Menards. Make this the year you check that project off the list. Renovate your space with new cabinets from Cardell. They're ready to install and come in a variety of styles and finishes with free shipping to your home. Visit our kitchen showrooms in-store or go to Menards.com for free estimates today. Plus, check out our weekly flyer for all of our hot deals going on now. Save big money
at Menards. When the world is calling, getting there starts here. With over 55 nonstop destinations, including Montreal, and 20 nonstop flights a day to New York City, travel from Columbus is closer than you think. Start your trip at flycolumbus.com.
Odd Trails is a true paranormal podcast. If you have a story to share, send it to stories@oddtrails.com. Enjoy the show.
Forget facts. Forget logic. Forget everything that seems real. You just trust. Believe.
Did I Die? By Kenzie. I've always been sensitive to the spiritual realm since being a little girl. I remember my mother telling me that when I was around 3 or 4 years old, she would walk into the room and see me chatting away with someone who wasn't there. She asked who I was talking to, and I told her, Papa. This happened several times until around the age of 7. Now, this threw my mother for a loop, since her father died when I was 2. But on to the real reason I'm messaging you today. I was listening to one of your episodes, and one of you mentioned something about déjà vu, and how it could be a message to us from our higher selves, about something that could be very significant or life-changing. In that context, one of you mentioned death and Mandela effects. When I was in the 6th grade, I had a dream that's important to mention. I was sitting on the ground, on concrete. I was hugging my knees to my chest with my head bent down. At the time of the dream, I didn't know I was in that position to protect myself. I remember being wet, as if it was raining. I was also surrounded by people who were standing above me, circling me. Then all of a sudden, I hear honking. When I looked up, I saw a white car pulling up next to me in this group of people. I remember waking up after that and shrugging off the dream, but it stuck with me for a few days. Normally, I forget my dreams quickly, but this one was different. Fast forward to 2007, 8th grade. This part doesn't seem important now, but keep it in mind. I was shy and timid, and I got bullied a lot. I didn't speak to anybody outside of my friend group. When people bullied me, I would just stare at the ground and walk away without saying anything, letting them win. On to the night of the event. I went to a skating rink with 2 of my friends. Afterwards, we walked in the rain to get ice cream until our parents picked us up. Little did we know, we were followed by a group of 8 or so kids who were our age. Apparently, one of the girls in the group didn't like that her boyfriend was flirting with me, even though I kept waving him off. It was one of the reasons my friends and I wanted to leave. He kept bothering me and following me around. Naturally, she thought I was the problem instead of her boyfriend. A bunch of them grabbed my friends and held them back, while 3 others formed around me and started pulling my hair, hitting and kicking me. I remember my friends trying to get to me, but we were too outnumbered. At some point, I ended up sitting in the fetal position with my head down, trying to shield myself, as they kept hitting and punching the back of my head. I'm not sure how long this all happened, But then, a white car pulled up and started honking over and over again, trying to break up the scene. Then all of a sudden, I had an intense vision of my dream. It played out right in front of my eyes, like two worlds colliding, with the full realization that I've experienced this before. I ended up staggering to the ice cream shop, and they called 911. I couldn't breathe, walk, or talk. My friends came with me, but I don't remember much else until after I was at the hospital. My mother showed up with tears covering her face. Receiving a call from police officers that your child is going to the hospital would send any parent into a panic. Somehow, I only ended up having normal bruising where they kicked and hit me the most, but my ribs were really bad. Whenever I talked or even tried to take a breath, the pain in my ribs and lungs was excruciating. They weren't sure how I didn't break any part of my rib cage. They were worried about my lungs collapsing, so they sent me home with all these different types of symptoms to look out for. I didn't know these girls until afterward found out that they went to an entirely different school in a different part of the city. It happened on a Friday night, so when I came into school on Monday, I was really surprised to realize that everyone, and I mean everyone, knew about what happened to me. The only other people to witness it were my two friends, and neither of them told anybody. I was asked if I was okay by people who were nameless to me prior. My bullies stopped bullying me. How did everyone know that quickly? It wasn't on the news, it happened over the weekend, and there were only 500 kids at my school. I understand how gossip works, but also, not many 13-year-olds had cell phones in 2007. In so many ways, it feels like I died in an alternate timeline and came back to an entirely different place that's also so much the same. A part of me did die. I didn't talk to anyone for nearly a month, not even the teachers. When I was healed, I still wasn't talking to people outside of my group. Eventually, my bullies started back up with their usual game of torture, or at least, they tried to. I had this one guy stride up to me one morning, with his group of onlookers. He was my main bully. He stepped right in front of me and started talking down to me, telling me that I was an ugly waste of space, and all the usual things punk-ass teenagers think is cool to bash on someone about. But this time, I didn't cower. I looked straight into his eyes with my chin held high. I poked his chest and said, "Shut up. No one cares what you have to say. If you come near me again and block my path, if you try to bully me anymore, I will beat your ass so bad you'll be crying to your mom." I remember his face going still, his friends going quiet. They were shocked that I spoke at all, let alone stood up for myself in that way. He never bullied me again. Also, after this incident, there was a guy who would sit behind me on the bus and pull my hair. He did this almost daily. I asked him several times to stop, and he never did. So one day, I finally snapped. I turned around and slapped him hard. His glasses flew off his face and across the floor. Who was this girl that I woke up to? That night changed me. I haven't been the same since. I barely even spoke to my normal friends. Even my relationship with my family was different. I've heard that sometimes when you experience death and come back, it can seem as if you never died at all. But there will be signs or signals that might give it away. Maybe you did, but somehow chose a different reality after your death. The universe then has to shift and make changes that appear believable, or at least seem like happenstance. What do you guys think? Did I die? It's so strange, having deja vu about the event, and then coming back completely changed. The doctors wondering why I wasn't more injured than I was. Maybe I was extremely hurt in a different reality, but chose to come back in this one instead. It's always stuck with me, never far from my thoughts. I understand people go through experiences that change them for good, but this seems very spiritually connected somehow. Maybe I was just tired of all the bullshit.
Creeper disappears into thin air by Civil Technology 805. This happened in 2007. Me and my girlfriend were 18, just about a year out of high school. Because of the not-so-great circumstances, we were living in a two-bedroom house with my girlfriend's dad. He was kind of a burnout. Regardless, he was a good guy who mostly had his shit together, and was kind enough to let his daughter and her loser boyfriend stay with him while we all sorted stuff out. I mention this all for context because, as a household of two cocky teens and a burnout, we were kind of the troublemakers of the neighborhood. We didn't keep up on our lawn, made loud noises late at night, parked our cars on the wrong side of the road, and left our garbage cans out for days at a time. As a result, my girlfriend's dad had developed a kind of rivalry with the lady in the house across the street. She was a bit of a Karen before we called them Karens, and would stick her nose where we didn't think that it belonged. So, my girlfriend's dad would get in bitching matches with her, telling her to fuck off and mind her own business and whatnot. The lady had two daughters. The elder was high school aged. The younger was between 5 and 7. Despite mom being snooty at us, the daughters were friendly enough. The younger daughter was a bit of a talker and would just tell us about her life in the way big-mouthed little kids do. Also, I feel like I have to mention that this all happened in Colorado Springs, Colorado. If you're a native or just lived there for an extended period of time, you're most likely aware that it's a magnet town for weird shit. There are all sorts of conspiracy theories and myths about government weirdness, cults, ghost stories, and high strangeness. I'm just saying, if you have been there, there's a good chance you've seen something strange. I could probably write 10 to 15 more stories all about growing up in the Springs. Anyway, onto this actual story. It was some summer night between July and September. I remember because it was still warm at 11 p.m. at night. The moon was also full, or at least near full, because despite being the dead of night, visibility was pretty good. Combining with the streetlights, it really wasn't dark at all. My girlfriend and I were getting home late from hanging out with some friends. At the time, neither of us drank or did any drugs or anything like that, so we were both stone sober. We decided to park in front of Karen Lady's house because she had done something to piss Dad off earlier that day, and we thought that it would be funny to retaliate. My girlfriend and I were having some kind of funny conversation as we were getting out of the car, and I was mid-rant. As I was going on, she suddenly hissed my name to shut me up, and I quickly noticed her expression had changed. Her eyes were wide, and she was looking toward Karen Lady's house. She wordlessly signaled, as I wasn't getting what she was doing at first, and I turned to see what had got her attention. Standing with his back to us, right in front of the leftmost window of Karen Lady's house, was a man in a long-sleeved jacket and jeans. He was dead still, staring into the window. We were about 10 to 15 feet from him, separated only by the front lawn of the house, but he didn't seem to notice or acknowledge us. It didn't affect him in the slightest that we had driven up and were talking loudly, nor that we had obviously noticed him. We were particularly disturbed because, to our knowledge, the window the man was staring into was the youngest daughter's bedroom. The little girl had told us before that "That's my bedroom," while pointing to that window. And we had joked to ourselves that it was weird of the mom to post her youngest daughter up towards the front of the house. In some ways, we were somewhat vindicated in our joking by seeing this creep staring into her window. I was a scrawny, cowardly kid, so I had no interest in engaging with the weirdo. Instead, my girlfriend and I scurried across the street into our house. Her dad was awake, and we wasted no time in letting him know what was going on. He stepped out on the porch and confirmed that the guy was still there. While we stood with him, he started yelling across the street. "Hey," he started. And then he went on, but the creep didn't react. Her dad called him names, and he still didn't react. The guy didn't even budge. So the three of us just watched a few minutes before finally deciding to call the cops. My dad went to bed washing his hands of the whole thing because he didn't like cops and just assumed that this would drum up more bad blood between him and the Karen lady. We called the non-emergency police line and explained to the dispatcher the whole situation. We told them that there was this guy staring into the neighbor's house and that we didn't recognize him, that we knew the window belonged to the youngest daughter's bedroom, and that he had been there for at least 30 minutes now. The dispatcher replied that she would have the nearest patrol car to the neighborhood as soon as possible and to keep an eye on the creep if we could. We were happy to oblige and just kept watching the guy while we loudly spoke to the police on the line, on the front porch. There was no way that he couldn't hear us as we described him and the situation to the police. But he still just stood there motionless. Now here's where it gets scarier. It was about 10 minutes before the police cruiser turned the corner onto our block. We stayed on the line with the dispatcher the entire time, reaffirming that the man was still there. As the police entered our neighborhood, they turned on this huge spotlight and swept it back and forth across the front porch of each house on the block. They were very deliberate as they searched, driving only 5 miles per hour, slowly scanning down the front of each house. When they finally reached Karen's house, the light swept across the front door and moved to the window with the offending creep in front. We thought that the cops had found him, as the light stopped and hung right on the guy for a good 5 seconds. We watched very plainly as the light cast a huge shadow with his silhouette onto the front of the house. As the spotlight hit him, the creep moved for the first time since we noticed him. His shadow, reacting to the light, turned and started to slowly step to the left. The cops started to move the light again, and when it was off of the window, the man was gone. He hadn't started to run or dodge. He wasn't fleeing as the light passed him by. His body just disappeared. It was like the spotlight had erased him off of the side of the house. My girlfriend and I were freaking out on the phone, yelling at the lady on the other end that the guy had vanished into thin air. The dispatcher insisted that we calm down and describe what happened. We said that the cops had the guy in the spotlight, but that he just disappeared. The police car left the block, and the dispatcher said that she would have the officers follow up with us. Now, of course, you could say that we just didn't see the guy and he ran away, but it would be very hard for either of us to miss him fleeing. The way that the neighborhood was constructed, each house was packed closely together with high fences in between. Our houses were in the middle of the block, and the creep could only really run east or west across clear front yards or the road. To the immediate left of Karen's house, the direction that the man turned before just disappearing, was a tall fence with no foothold to easily climb. If he wanted to jump the fence, he would have to scurry up and perform some kind of superhuman leap to clear it, which we obviously didn't see him do. The neighborhood didn't have any bushes for him to hide in, and really the only thing that he could have hid behind was our car that we had parked in front of the house. But that was in the opposite direction than he had turned when he was caught by the spotlight. As I said before, visibility was very good due to the full moon streetlights and the house lights from Karen's porch. Obviously, it wasn't 100%, but I would admit, if it were dark enough to just lose him in the night, I assure you that wasn't the case, though. By our witness, he had seriously just disappeared, dematerialized in the spotlight. The cops came around 10 minutes later and knocked on the door. The first thing they asked was for us to confirm which house we had seen him at. We were confused and told them that it was the house right across from us and insisted that they had the spotlight on the guy for a good 5 seconds. Both officers said they saw nothing and had us point to where the guy was. We walked across the street with them and told them that they definitely had the light on the guy for a significant amount of time, and we thought that they had to have seen him. The police were just as confused as we were and assured us that they didn't see anyone. They ended up knocking on Karen's door that night and talking to her before returning to talk to us. Apparently, Karen had told the cops that the man was probably the older daughter's boyfriend and that he was probably playing a prank on her. We were flabbergasted and explained that the window the guy was looking into was the youngest daughter's bedroom. This whole situation seemed very suspicious. Ultimately, there wasn't much more that the cops could do except patrol the area a little while longer before leaving. After that, they hadn't seen anyone suspicious in their search. Suffice it to say, the whole event left a very weird taste in our mouths, and we were left completely confused and without answers for the rest of the night. It would be odd enough for a guy to be peeping on a little girl at midnight, but his insane disappearance left us deeply disturbed into the next day. And further, we ended up even more pissed off by the Karen who tried to play off some weirdo creeping on her kids as some sort of prank by a boyfriend. We assumed she just didn't want to cooperate because of her feud with us. But come on. We were trying to help her family. I still occasionally talk to my ex-girlfriend, and I'll ask every once in a while if she remembers that night. She says, of course, and I can at least rest assured I didn't hallucinate the whole thing.
The Woman in the Woods by Sarah. I grew up on the edge of a tiny mountain town in Colorado, where our backyard wasn't really a yard. It was just endless forest. No close neighbors, no lights at night, just the sound of wind through the trees. My mom was a Celtic pagan, and my dad used to be in a biker gang. Between the two of them, life was always a little unconventional. When I was little, I spent all day exploring those woods. But at night, things got weird. Sometimes, right before bed, I'd get this overwhelming urge to look out my window. Every time I did, I saw her. A tall, cloaked figure standing at the edge of the trees. It looked feminine and stood still as she watched me. She always appeared on nights with no moon, and every time I saw her, the next morning, there would be dead crows around our property, once perfectly arranged in a circle. I was terrified, but I never told my parents. I think part of me was scared that they'd actually believe me. Years later, as a teenager, I was deep into my wild phase. Festivals, bands, no sleep for days. One night, after a long stretch of partying, I came home alone, turned off the lights, and collapsed into bed. I was seconds away from sleeping when I realized I couldn't move. I was completely paralyzed. My eyes darted upward, and that's when I saw it. On my ceiling was something crawling toward me, and it looked exactly like me. Same face, same hair, but its skin was bluish-gray, its eyes hollow and black. Its clothes hung in tatters, and it grinned as it reached both hands toward my throat. I couldn't breathe. My body felt electrified, like my blood had turned to static. The air went freezing cold. Just as it was about to touch me, my bedside lamp switched on by itself. In the light, it was gone. My body jerked back into motion. I ran straight into my parents' room, locked the door, and didn't sleep a second that night. About a year later, I moved out with my boyfriend, who's now my husband. He's from Mexico, and he's had his own share of strange encounters. When he was just 2 years old, he got lost in a crowded street market. An unknown woman took his hand, walked him home, and disappeared before anyone could thank her. Years later, when our oldest daughter was 8, she started telling us about the shadow man outside her bedroom window. She said he whispered for her to come outside and play. Thankfully, she never did. We eventually had a psychic medium cleanse our home. She told us that with my Celtic roots and my husband's Aztec ancestry, our family is naturally attuned, able to sense and attract spiritual energy. She said things like that can follow bloodlines. I don't know if that's true, but I know what I saw in that ceiling, and I know what my daughter saw in her window. Some nights, when the moon disappears, I still get that feeling, that pull to look outside, but I never do, because I'm afraid that one night, she'll be there again.
My Dead Father Told Me My Future in a Dream by Mantra Sutra. My father died in September of 2015. We were told he was terminal and had just 1 week to live. I was in my early 20s and married my now ex-husband. Fast forward to January. Every night I had contact dreams, but this night was different. My aunt, who passed away when I was 15, gave me my favorite pie and said, "There's someone here to talk to you." Of course, it was my father. We held hands and actually walked around Disney World. I lived about 1,000 miles away at that point. We had a long talk, and he told me how much he loved me, and we talked about everything that I didn't say before he died. I asked him if this was real, and he told me yes. He said that in the near future I would have a daughter, and she would have blonde hair and blue eyes, and that he picked her just for me. Now, I'm the opposite of all of that. I have dark features. 2 to 3 weeks later, my test came back positive. No, I wasn't trying. She came out exactly as he promised, blonde hair, blue eyes. I also now live 20 minutes away from Disney. This isn't the first time I've told this story. However, this is the first time I'm sharing it here. Yes, this has really helped to enforce the thought of more life after death, and I hope that maybe this will help someone else, too.
My husband was haunted for many years. By Laura. Since I was a little girl, I've had strong sensitivities to the paranormal and anything out of the ordinary. I'm used to seeing spirits, sensing things, and being an overall empath for the supernatural. Once, I even spoke with a spirit in my dreams, the mother of the little girl spirit haunting our house at the time. She explained why her daughter wasn't at peace, It had something to do with how the stepfather abused the girl while the mother was away at work. A couple of months later, our elderly neighbor, who'd lived there for over 20 years, casually told my parents about a couple who used to live in our house. They had one daughter who often called the police because her stepfather would beat her. The neighbor said that years later, she'd heard that the girl died by suicide as a teenager. Very odd, right? Anyway, some of the most intense encounters I've had with spirits started when I began living with my now husband. At first, I stayed at his family's house because my own was in the countryside, and I worked in the city. While we saved for our own place, this arrangement made sense. His family's house was basically a three-story building, with rental studios and apartments. Because the rent was so cheap, all kinds of people had lived there, good and bad. And I always felt that brought strange energy. I also felt that my husband's good energy attracted spirits to him. He would tell me about odd things happening, the dog barking at the washing room, sounds of footsteps or objects moving in empty apartments, even being locked inside his music studio from the outside while only his sister was home working. She swore she hadn't done it. I once experienced the lights turning off by themselves while I was in that same room. But the scariest thing that ever happened between us was one night while we were sleeping. I suddenly experienced something like a lucid dream, or maybe even sleep paralysis. I opened my eyes. My husband was beside me, sleeping face up. A strange creature was leaning over him, staring. It was tall and womanlike, with long, black, greasy hair and red eyes. She smiled, a wide, terrifying smile, and reached for him with long, claw-like fingers, as if trying to take something from him. I screamed at her, "Get away from my husband! You don't belong here!" She looked at me and kept smiling. I felt something grab my arms, holding me back. Then I saw a flashlight coming from the hallway. It was probably morning. My father-in-law always walked around with a flashlight for some reason. This time it saved me. When the creature saw the light, it ran through the door toward the second floor, disappearing into the stairwell. I suddenly woke up for real, lying next to my husband, both of us face up. I was gasping for air. He was still asleep, so I didn't wake him. It was almost 5 a.m. The next day, he told me that he had slept terribly. His chest and stomach hurt, like he'd been doing push-ups all night. Strange, since he hadn't exercised in weeks. Maybe his body had been fighting that thing. Who knows? After that, I often saw shadows and shapes following him, peeking toward our room. It only stopped once we moved out. I wasn't the only one who felt uneasy in that house, but no one else ever dared to talk about it.
All right, let's start things off with a message from Mary Christina Dawson. This one kind of breaks my heart. I used to listen to Odd Trails every night when I went to sleep. I've stopped. I've stopped because I started getting sleep paralysis.
So she's not the first.
No.
We've heard this before, recently.
We talked about it on the show, and I'm assuming that's why they commented and sent this in.
Right.
It looks like this is victim number two of Odd Trails induced sleep paralysis.
Maybe we should do like a proper legal disclaimer before each episode. I don't want to get sued for this.
Yeah, I didn't realize how much spiritual influence the podcast had over people. It's a lot of responsibility now that I think about it, and I'm not sure I want it.
It's a bit frightening, yeah.
And Garrett said, in regarding 203, yeah, episode 203, the black dog, I've seen him when I was younger. I was in southwestern Ontario, and it used to watch me around my bedroom door. It was scary before, but then it started smiling at me. You know, the black dog thing, and there's another comment here from somebody named Tylenius Rose, whatever. I'm sorry, I don't know how to say it. The black dog was a hellhound. It's a common American lore, particularly around making deals with the devil. And I haven't heard that one, but I've heard the English lore of the hellhound before, that it's something that's seen over there a lot. Ireland, Scotland, pretty much a bunch of European locations that they've seen black dogs that were just like bigger than any black dog, almost like some kind of supernatural being, like a werewolf almost. But I like that we're getting these stories and we're getting this response. I've never seen one myself. Have you?
Yeah, I've seen a few big black dogs in my time. A Great Dane here and there. Cane Corso. How do you say that? Cane Corso?
I'm not sure. Corso? I have no idea how to say it.
Oh, those things are terrifying. Yeah, check that out.
Those are pretty big.
It's pronounced like Cane Corso or something. I don't know. Silly thing.
I'm sure somebody will write in.
It's like Ghislaine Maxwell. I still don't know if I said that right.
I know. Some people will say Ghislaine.
Yeah.
I don't know. That also reminds me of a mastiff.
Yes.
That's like the giant, big, droopy head that's like the size of your whole torso.
Mm-hmm. The size of your cane corso, apparently.
Flecktarn says, funny you should mention Goosebumps in the last episode. I watched The Haunted Mask on VHS for that nostalgic vibe and completely forgot Carly Beth's laugh when she has the mask on. It sounds exactly like the Eraserhead baby.
Ooh.
Give it a rewatch if it's been a while. It's hilarious. I actually have rewatched it. I rewatched it last year. I was doing a podcast that never came out. It was with me and Cassidy from Drinking the Kool-Aid, and we talked about that episode a bunch, and so we had both watched it recently. And yeah, the laugh is hilarious. It does sound like the Eraserhead baby, but I think the scariest part of that, I don't know if you remember it too well, that episode of Goosebumps was the head of Carly Beth that the mom made. Do you remember that? It was like a sculpture of Carly Beth's head.
I don't really remember it now. I remember the book, so I know who Carly Beth is, but yeah. Not the episode.
Go ahead and Google a picture of Carly Beth's head. It will come right up. It's just this disturbing sculpture that her mom made.
Wow, 3D printing before that was a thing. That reminds me of Pin.
Pin?
Have you seen Pin, 1988, I want to say?
No, I don't think so. Uh-uh.
Worth it for sure. Just, yeah, look that up and look at that head.
Oh, yeah, that looks exactly like that. I need to add this to my list. This looks awesome.
It's so good. It's cheesy, but also, like, charming and creepy. Also, the last commenter, they mentioned that it was funny that we mentioned Goosebumps. I wouldn't call it funny, because have you been reading our reviews lately on Apple Podcasts?
I don't read them. They bum me out. Why?
Once a month, I do. And this one, I think this might be a first time, a second time, but... You're going to like this one. The quote-unquote... Oh, by the way, 5 stars, so...
Okay.
The quote-unquote banter between these guys is so awkward. They talk about having grown up together, but sound as if they haven't liked each other for years and are being forced to have a conversation because they work together. Also, their jokes. Ugh. Two of the most unfunny dudes ever. I cut out as soon as the stories are over.
5 stars. Hey, I appreciate the 5 stars. That's funny.
I'll take it. I think that neutralizes it a bit. And we have thick skin, so it's okay.
It's funny that they say we sound awkward or like we haven't liked each other for years. You and I are like we're the only people that we know that we can be ourselves around 100%.
Exactly. I think what it also is, what it only really is the fact that we're talking to such a wide audience. We can't please everybody and we don't want to, be our 100% authentic selves for the sake of people misinterpreting things. And that's not to say like we are super crude or anything that would get us canceled if like we accidentally like released an uncut version of the outro.
Yeah.
It's just the level of consciousness where you don't want to offend certain people's sensibilities. That's bad business.
Exactly. We want to appeal to a wide audience. So, I mean, if we were just ourselves and just injected all of our personality into this, it would take over the podcast and it wouldn't have any, we wouldn't be a true paranormal podcast. We would just be a comedy podcast and it's not our thing.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I love that. For the record, I love you and I like working with you.
Yeah, I love you too with all my heart.
Thanks.
That sounded so stiff.
I love it. That's perfect. That's perfect.
That's just how we are. It totally is how we are, though. I'm like, sometimes my wife will tell me, like, are you okay? I'm like, yeah, I'm fine. Like, something bad or something sad just happened. Why aren't you crying? And it's like, I don't know. I'm just, I think I just shut down. I protect myself. I shield myself a lot.
We both also, I think, mm-hmm. I've noticed as we both get older, we rationalize our emotions more than we feel them.
Mm-hmm.
I still feel them, but I think I subconsciously, whether it's a defense mechanism or not, I find myself just kind of immediately grounding myself in the rational and kind of pulling myself out of it.
Same.
It is what it is.
I think it's just something that has to do with getting older. Finally, the last one from Melissa Marie. Lucid dream every single night, but I'm not one of those people who wants to go digging around in the dream world. I'm okay with that. I've also had really terrifying sleep paralysis events, so there's that too. Well, hey, at least they didn't say it was odd trails induced.
Yeah, not at fault.
Yeah, and I'm still amazed by people that can lucid dream all the time, but don't take advantage of it. You'll realize like how much cool stuff you can accomplish. I'm telling you, trust me. It's you got to take advantage of it.
Yeah, I'll still never forget my first one. Like, once you experience it, it's like no other. It's like opening up your third eye or something.
It's like being on drugs. It's like you can see colors better. You can feel things better. Everything is more intense than reality. But
it feels more real than real.
Yeah.
Yeah. It's hard to explain.
That's why I fully believe in the spirit world and that dreams are more than just, you know, our brains figuring things out.
You know your life is just a dream, don't you?
Yeah. Yeah. All right. I guess we should get into the stories now.
Sure. Sounds good to me. Let's kick it off with Kenzie's story. No pun intended about the kicks.
Oh, jeez.
Wow. I actually felt a lot of strong emotions reading through that story.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm really, really, truly sorry that happened to you. And I hope that you're doing better today. Oh, man. Where do you even begin? I think with the deja vu that she felt when all that was happening in that dream that she had earlier, I really do think it was either some sort of premonition or like what she suggested. Maybe it was like a past life or future life type of thing. And she was reborn to explain, I guess, like how she changed after it all happened. If we do want to be logical about it entirely, maybe like she was so traumatized by that and she was fed up with everything going on with everybody bossing her around. And that's a natural reaction to come out of that experience and have thicker skin and be tougher and stronger. And that's fine too.
100%. But
I don't know that dream. And I think there's something more to it.
I do too. There is one theory that I like. It's that human beings can observe the past, present, and future all at once as if, you know, time is just a flat circle. But no, but like that there really is no linear time. It's just past, present, and future all happening at once.
Mm-hmm.
And our brains can only process the information as time that's linear. And this is, you know, this is a Reddit theory. I don't know if there's any truth to this at all, but I read this a while back, a few years ago. And it always kind of stuck with me that past, present, future are all happening at once, but we can only perceive linear. But there are times when we can get a peek at the future or the past.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, like you have the remnants of the past that shape our present. As for the future, though, that's where it kind of gets muddy for me in a sense. Like, unless there's some true predestination for every single thing in this universe, that's kind of hard to wrap your head around. Like, it is going to happen. The future will happen. But whether or not every single action is predestined, who knows? Pretty intense to think about.
Yeah. But these stories are really cool. This almost read like a Let's Not Meet story.
Yeah.
You know, half of it was just like this true horror story. And then the other half was, oh, wow, this all happened in my dream just like this. And, you know, science has no explanation for prophetic dreams, but they exist and they've been proven to be real. So this is a real phenomena that you experienced that so many other people have as well. That's completely unexplainable. So you win an Odd Trails trophy for this one.
Absolutely, well deserved. Well deserved.
Yeah, but transformation through trauma, like you were saying, that does happen for sure. Whether it be brain injuries, just changing the chemistry of your brain, or like you said, the trauma mentally the trauma can just cause like a metamorphosis, like a psychological metamorphosis.
That kind of leads into the story that you had about the person's father who passed away, having the dream about her dad and wondering whether or not it was her subconscious processing the grief or if it was something supernatural with her father visiting her.
Right. I mean, it's kind of a roll of the dice if you're going to predict what kind of child you're going to have, what color the hair is going to be, what color the eyes are going to be, et cetera. This could just be a coincidence based on, you know, a very emotional dream that they had. But this is Odd Trails, so I'm going to put on that hat again and just say another prophetic dream story.
I will say, though, how do you not try for a child? You're either doing the deed or you're not. But that's not to take away from anything, but I do think it's funny. Like, oh, we weren't even trying. Yeah, you were. I know contraceptives are a thing, so sorry, unfunny.
That's always been something that's weirded me out that people will openly say. Like, you'll be sitting at the dinner table, and your brother will just be like, oh, yeah, no, but we're trying. Like, oh, okay, thank you for letting me know. I now have a mental image of you busting loads in your
cream
wife.
Pie.
Yeah. Thanks for letting me know. Yeah, but the prophetic dreams all around. I would imagine we're going to have some tonight just from talking about this.
We better. I've yet to have one that was truly prophetic that just completely blew me away. Intense ones for sure, but nothing that really predicted the future.
Yeah, and I want to talk about one more of my stories this week. I think I only had two, so I guess the other story. The creep that disappeared into thin air. This is cool because it happened right in front of them. The cops were shining their light directly on this guy. And even though he disappeared and the cops were like, we didn't see anybody, the dad saw it. And then for some reason, the neighbor lady acknowledged it, like she was almost covering up for something. It's really weird because she said that it was probably the boyfriend of her daughter, but he was standing outside of the younger daughter's room, the little kid looking through the window, which obviously this guy's a creep, but him just disappearing, it's like maybe there's a spirit or a ghost attached to that house and she just doesn't want to, I don't know, acknowledge it. And That's my best theory I have about this, because I would be so terrified if my neighbors told me somebody was staring in my daughter's bedroom all night through the window and then they just disappeared. I would be terrified. But she seemed to be just like irritated.
Yeah, victim blaming, I'm sure. A little bit on the side and her off time too. I think just the fact that they both saw it, obviously the corroboration is always a factor. Something was there. And when you have spotlights in the area and
exactly
cops who probably are just dying to have a case like this and chase after a peeping Tom potentially, like I think they would have like uncovered something, you know. But if it just assuming it was who knows what, just completely vanished like that, maybe it was something else. And it could have been something less nefarious. Maybe it was a previous owner of the house who was just kind of like fawning over the past and just gazing ahead. If we look at the best case scenario.
Yeah, that is the best case scenario. You're right. But that doesn't explain how they disappeared. There was nowhere for them to run. Like there was...
No, I mean, as a ghost.
Yeah, like okay. Ghost, I see what you're saying. Figure. Oh, okay. Yeah, yes. Yeah. So we're looking at Casper the friendly ghost.
Very friendly, but not too friendly.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, it did seem like everything that they tried to do, the guy just didn't respond. They were talking loudly enough for him to hear. The guy just wasn't responding or moving. It does make it sound more supernatural than just a drunk guy looking through somebody's window or some creep looking through somebody's window. You'd think that if somebody was calling you out or talking loudly enough for you to hear, talking about you, you'd probably be out of there in no time.
You'd respond to some degree for sure.
Yeah.
And then like, why not respond to them shouting at him, but suddenly vanish when the cops show up? Somebody who's that far gone mentally, let's just say that's the case, they're going to probably have the same reaction for a police presence and just kind of be moseying about, huh? What did I do? What are you talking about? I'm just standing here, or just apparently have no response at all. So it's interesting that it vanished under those circumstances specifically.
Yeah, I don't think there's any non-supernatural explanation for it. The guy completely disappeared. There was a fence that he couldn't have hopped that quickly to get away. And the cops shined their spotlight on him for, they said, at least 5 seconds. And the cops said that they didn't see anything. So it maybe it was some kind of manifestation that only they could see. I don't know how that works. The spirit world is weird. But I don't think there's a non-supernatural explanation for this one. Very cool story.
Yeah, he stood out there for an extra minute or 30 seconds. Sorry, that was a weird, obscure reference to the rogue helicopter pilot video. Remember that guy?
No.
Oh, man. Yeah, everybody, look up rogue helicopter pilot on YouTube. That's one of my favorites. Bless that guy's heart. He has some issues going on. I hope he's doing better. But that's a good one. I always like courtroom stuff. Not courtroom, but I mean like a city council type of thing. You know what I mean? Official areas where people act out and everybody behind the official table just has to act all composed and act like it's not the funniest thing ever.
Yeah, I totally know what you mean. A lot of city council videos are like that.
That's what we're doing. We're like playing city council, talking to the world. We have to keep ourselves in line.
That's exactly what it is. That's why we sound so awkward. we're trying our best. Yeah. Anyways, listen, if you guys have a story to share, make sure you send it in to stories@oddtrails.com and sign up for a Patreon to get ad-free versions of all the episodes and support the show at patreon.com/oddtrails. Check out my new episodes of my other podcasts like Let's Not Meet and the Old Time Radio Cast at crypticcountypodcasts.com. Let's see. I guess we'll see you next week.
And I suppose you should peace out.
And stay safe.
Yeah, that too.
Don't let the ghosts and the ghouls disturb you, darling.